then stifled giggles with their hands. Sometime later in the day, according to the laws of Little Pueblo, Wicklaw's women and the two newcomer females would be divided up among the five surviving pilgrims. As head pilgrim, Plavik would claim first and second choice, two new wives.
All glory to Bob and Enid! What the...
The crackle of blaster fire from the direction of the Ville drove all the romantic fantasies from Plavik's head and put an equally sudden end to the dancing and cheering. The shots echoed up the canyon walls. The people of Little Pueblo rushed to the lakeside of the dam and stood there, rigid and horror-struck, staring toward the city center, while an intense battle raged out of sight in the square park. After 15 seconds, it shut off, as if by a switch. There was no way of telling whether the guards the pilgrims had posted had won or lost the skirmish. If they'd lost, the unthinkable might still be averted.
They're breaking into the tomb! We must stop them! Vengeance!
The Ville folk broke ranks and ran to defend their most hallowed shrine. Brian walked with the breeze in his face, the assault rifle in one hand, the torch in the other. The flickering flame cast bizarre shadows over the corridor's windowless walls and low ceiling. The extreme limit of the light was perhaps 25 or 30 feet ahead. Beyond that was the void, the land of monsters. JB matched him stride for stride. He too had a torch in one hand. In the other, he carried the best of the two hand blasters he'd found. The Llama semi-automatic, hammer back, safety off, finger resting outside the trigger guard. The battered Smith was tucked in his trouser waistband. Ryan could feel Jubilee's hand twisted in the back of his shirt. She was holding on for dear life. Ryan didn't know if he could save her. He didn't know whether he could save JB or himself. At this point, the situation was totally out of control. He and the armorer didn't know what kind of enemy they faced. They didn't know its capabilities or its number. Or if there was a way out of the dam. All they could do was rely on their survival instinct, their foot speed, their reaction time, and their fighting skills. In the end, that was all they ever had, and it had carried the day before. The wounded men drove themselves unmercifully to keep up the pace. Steeped in the superstition surrounding the dam, they were dry-mouthed terrified of what lay waiting for them in the dark. Every breath they took reminded them of the proximity of death. The breeze did nothing to disperse the pall of decay, which seemed to cling to every surface. Shuffling, groaning from the effort and pain, they stayed close behind. As they rounded the gentle curve of the hallway, the smell suddenly got much worse. Eye-watering, nose-watering worse, like a hydrochloric acid spill. In the torchlight, Ryan saw a crumpled shape on the floor of the corridor ahead. To the left was an open doorway. JB saw it too.
Another corpse.
Like the others, it lay on its back in a puddle of yellow slime. But this one was different. There was still flesh on the bones. To get close, Ryan had to breathe through his mouth. The fumes coming off the body burned his throat.
Looks fresher.
The acid isn't finished doing its work.
Standing close to the corpse was like leaning into an open, raging furnace. The victim was way past caring. His eyes had been melted out of their sockets, which now swam with yellow acid. His lipless mouth gaped in a silent scream, chin jutting upward. But for the branded goatee that decorated his chin, his face was stripped of skin. In some places, the flesh was entirely missing. In others, it sagged like wet crepe. Both cheeks were gone, as were the ears. Below the stout neck, his torso had been split open and plundered of all its soft organs. A pool of faintly bubbling acid filled the gaping cavity, spilling over onto the concrete. The verges of the horrendous wound were bracketed by the ends of broken rib bones and showed claw or tooth marks where the flesh had been pulled to shreds.
Your demons sure do make a mess there, Wicklaw. Now I'm glad you didn't give us breakfast.
Got another blaster over there.
Now we're talking.
JB hurried over to pick up the auto pistol. He found the release and stripped out the Uzi stick mag.
Empty.
He looked around on the ground for a second.
No spent casings here.
There weren't any around the pool, either. Ryan noted the dead man's trousers had been saturated with acid and ripped to tatters, but not completely torn off. He still had his boots on.
I recognize that one. He called himself Star. He was offered to the demons 2 days ago.
What do you think, Ryan? Could that be our water thief come to a bad end?
Could be. His boots are the right size for the prints we were following. Don't see many chin brandings like that.
Yeah, only the most hardcore freelance mercies get themselves decorated like that. Gotta hurt like rad blazes.
Not as much as getting covered in acid.
From the way he's laying, I'll bet he came out that door. Didn't get very far.
Ryan untwisted Jubilee's fingers from his shirt.
Stay out here with JB.
Okay.
I'm gonna check the room.
With the Galil selector switch set on automatic fire, he poked his torch into the half-open doorway. He could see metal lockers along the back wall and a row of empty metal shelves to the right. He kicked the door open wider and stepped inside. The demon stench was chokingly thick and mixed with the odor of urine.
Ah, fire blast!
One of the tall cabinets had been tipped face down on the floor. In the wall above it was a yard-long, elliptically shaped gash. Over the pounding of his heart, Ryan heard the hissing and spitting of the torch flame. Oily smoke gathered along the ceiling. Wherever the gash led, it didn't lead to the outside. There was no air moving in the room. Spent brass was scattered on the floor around the fallen locker. Ryan picked up one of the casings. It was a 9mm. They were all nines. Most likely from the dead man's Uzi. He'd emptied the mag in here.
It's clear!
Ryan moved closer to the gash, careful not to touch any of the yellow fluid that dripped from it and smeared its edges. Holding out his torch, he peered inside.
What do you make of that?
Looks like some kind of a tunnel.
Ryan stuck the end of the torch into the hole.
Can't see how deep it goes. Makes a turn or dead ends after a little ways.
JB peered into the gash too.
Whatever it is, it definitely wasn't part of the original construction. This hole was dug out by something. The inside surface is coated with that yellow acid stuff. Almost like it's been lubed with it.
The corpse was in here. Look at the shell casings. From the scatter of his empties, it looks like he was firing straight into the hole. Didn't do him much good, though.
Whatever chilled that bastard, it can dig through tempered concrete.
From the width and height of the hole, it's got some size to it, too.
Some kind of muty gopher or mole, maybe. Grown giant, turned man-eater.
If it's a muty, it's meaner and faster than anything we've ever come across. From the look of all those holes, it can outrun parabellums fired point blank. And that doesn't explain the yellow stuff eating away the corpses. You ever hear of that before?
No.
Well, whatever's doing the chilling is carrying that fluid around with it. I think it's some kind of body juice, like stomach acid. This critter likes to soften up its food before it sits down to a meal.
You two still don't understand. The demons didn't come into being because of Skydark. They're not like Stickies or Scalies. They were here before.
And you know this because Bob and Enid told you so?
Yes.
Well, he's right, you know.
Can you believe these triple stoops? They're tightrope walking over hell, but they won't let go of their superstition.
Look at them. It's all they've got.
If the both of you weren't so hard-headed, you'd let yourselves see the proof that's right under your nose.
Such as?
Everybody who was here before us is dead, even though they had blasters and plenty of ammo. For more than 100 years, those who've come into the dam haven't come out. You're up against something more powerful than any human being or groups of human beings, something that can't be killed.
It's impossible to prove that something can't happen. Doc taught me that.
If this thing can dig through solid walls, it can pop out anywhere at any time. I suggest we move along quick-like before it gets wind of us.
As Ryan pushed past Wicklaw's bulk into the hallway, Jubilee reattached herself to the back of his shirt. She was as white-lipped scared as the men, and for the same reason. Deep down in her soul, she thought the critter was unchillable. Ryan wouldn't let himself consider that possibility. As long as he had rounds in his mag and his hands and feet free, he had hope. He just wished he had more solid facts to work from. At this point, it seemed like there might be more than one of the creatures, but he couldn't be sure about that. From the evidence left behind so far, it was acting like a solo hunter. The bodies weren't pulled apart, which is what a pack of animals fighting over spoils would do. In fact, it appeared that each kill lay untouched except by the killer, as if the puddle of yellow bile marked the food as its and its alone. That kind of marking was only done by highly territorial and competitive predators. This one made its kills in the halls, using the darkness and yawning open space to its advantage, attacking victims from undefended angles and unlikely hiding places. It had to be able to see or sense body heat in the dark. Maybe it even had infrared vision. It was very fast on its feet, apparently too fast to track with an auto weapon. Some of the clean misses had to do with the element of surprise it had going for it, but certainly not all of them. It had formidable offensive weapons, either portable or part of its body, which could incapacitate a person in seconds. It had to be triple strong to take a man out like that, and to dig through the solid walls. Its other abilities were a mystery. There was no way to tell how intelligent it was, if it could strategize, or if it was merely an instinctive hunter, like a rattlesnake or a bear. See it, stalk it, kill it, eat it. Jubilee gamely kept up the fast pace Ryan set. He hardly felt her tugging on his shirt. The wounded slowed them down much more than she did. Wicklaw brought up the rear, hopping and limping on his bad foot, swinging his torch around to keep his balance.
Dumbest thing I've ever did in my life. The absolute dumbest.
They followed the slight breeze as the corridor continued to curve, ignoring the occasional closed metal doors they came across. After 40 yards or so, they reached a crossing hallway and stopped to wreck. Ryan watched the flame of his torch bend over to the right. The stream of air was flowing from the left, from the intersecting hallway on that side, which was the direction of the lake.
Breeze is definitely coming from that way. It could be from the crack in the dam. If there is one, it's got to be at this end.
If it's the crack, it's going to be a dead end. We're too high up.
Either way, they had to find out. Ryan and JB entered the much narrower corridor with Jubilee in tow. The ceiling was lower, too. It was as black as the pit of hell inside, but the wind was steady in their faces. The wounded men shuffled along behind, coughing from the torch smoke blowing back at them. The hallway took a sharp right turn, and as they rounded it, they saw a bright crack of light ahead. JB and Ryan's torches revealed a jagged, floor-to-ceiling fissure in the wall. Ryan held his torch close to the 2.5-foot-wide crack. There was no sign of the caustic yellow slime. This gash was man-made and more than a century old, caused by incoming Soviet warheads on nuke day. JB squeezed through the opening pistol first. Ryan and Jubilee followed. They found themselves in a smooth, circular concrete channel, 10 feet in diameter. To the left, it angled down into the dark. At the end of the cylinder to the right, less than 30 feet away, was a massive screened grate, through which daylight streamed. JB watched the other end of the channel while Ryan and Jubilee hurried to the opening. The view through the circle of heavy steel mesh was of the cornfields and lake, and the sky and canyon beyond from a height of maybe 300 feet. Ryan could smell freedom. It was that close. Wicklaw and the other two men squeezed through the crack and joined them in front of the grate. At Ryan's direction, they tried to shift the screen out of its frame. No go. JB hurried over to help. But all of them, grunting and groaning together, couldn't budge the grate. On closer inspection, they saw it was secured with a couple of dozen badly rusted 4-inch-wide bolts. Wicklaw stuck his fingers through the mesh and vented his frustration over the canyon.
Damn you bastards! Damn you all to hell!
Ryan could see that others had made it this far. That was clear from the words they had scratched into the channel walls. Having screamed themselves hoarse, those offered to the demons carved curses into the sides of their tomb. Curses upon the people of Little Pueblo.
From that screen, I'd say this is a water intake channel.
JB pointed into the darkness behind them.
That probably leads down into the belly of the dam.
We could follow it out of here?
Maybe, maybe not. Depends on whether it's a main intake or a diversion channel. If it's a main, it'll lead right into the turbines, and we'll never get past the blades. Looks to me like it starts to angle down in a big way. Floor is smooth as a baby's butt. Nothing to grab onto, either. Without ropes, we could end up free-falling 200-300 feet.
We gotta get lower. Gotta find a way down.
Yeah, that's our best bet.
Ryan, Jubilee, and JB started for the fissure, but the three wounded men remained huddled by the light, their fingers and faces pressed to the inside of the grate.
You can't stay here, not if you want to live.
Demons don't like the sun. They won't come in here after us.
Not until it gets dark outside. And then you won't be able to stop them.
What are you going to do when it gets dark?
I don't plan on being here that long. When Ryan, JB, and Jubilee started back to the main corridor, the wounded men followed.
These critters have got to be faster than shit.